is preeminently the time to speak the truth, the whole truth, frankly and boldly. That the only thing we have to fear is fear itself.
Today's show is brought to you by Paul's Automotive. Paul's Automotive is located at 634 Route 46 in Kenville, New Jersey. If you want a master mechanic who has over 38 years of experience with quality work, he's your guy to call. He strives to keep you in a safe and reliable vehicle, and his goal is to make your experience as pleasurable and convenient as possible. It's not like you're dropping your car off and you're getting somebody named Joe Blow who's working on your car. Paul's the guy that'll be working on your car, and he gives you a reasonable price. We're proud to say that he's helped Autism Radio many times to keep our vehicle safe and reliable on the road. So he's your guy to give a call today at 973-584-1035. Remember, he's always committed to quality, and he's pleasurable to work with, and he is very helpful. So give him a call today at 973-584-1035. 1035 today.
Welcome back to AutismRadio.org, home of the world's first autism support radio network and proud 501c3 charitable organization, helping families challenged with autism every day get services they desperately need. Please help us make a difference in the autism community and find it in your heart to support 1 in 88 families in America today. Donate directly at AutismDonation.org. Now, stay tuned for a special broadcast of Hope Saves the Day with autism activist, super dad and author of The Spectrum Diet, Master Chef and the Hope Man himself, your host, Paul Simmons.
Thank you for that great introduction. As always, it's great to be back in another edition of Hope Saves the Day. I also like to welcome back to the program my co-host, Lynn Glukoff.
Hi, Paul. How are you?
Good, Lynn. It's great to have you back on with me today. As we have a lot of stuff to cover, I know the social media question of the week has blown up pretty good. A lot of responses. It was, you know, obviously that now that the nice weather has finally arrived, you know, what kind of challenges are you facing when you're taking your child out into the community? Also, what is your favorite place to take your child with autism? And also, how do you and your therapist work on a lot of community skills with your child with autism? And I know Lynn had a tremendous amount of responses this week, Lynn, so why don't you share a couple with us?
Yeah, I did. I have to thank everyone, first of all, who responded, because we got a lot of great responses. A lot of people said that their kids do well being outside. One person said, you know, like going to the zoo, playing in the backyard with her dogs. My biggest issue has been with my, constantly have to work on if someone else has a dog or a child. She thinks everyone's her friends, so we constantly have to work on this skill. And I think that's a common thread throughout autism. I know with my son, too, that they think everybody's a friend, and you have to kind of teach them safety. So safety came up a couple times as an issue. She loves the park. Okay, we got that. Okay. My son was younger, camping. He's now 19. As far as stores goes, I never take him. We do go camping in the summer and vacation in Florida in the winter. I will take him to the beach, but only if I have help with him. Generally, he's okay, but sometimes he has a major meltdown and will become very strong and self-injurious. Okay, that I'm just going to stop there because we have, I think you and I have experienced some meltdowns in public, which we all have to deal with, and I think people
yes.
need to be aware of when that does happen, it's very stressful on the parent and the child and how to react to it. I just look straight ahead and do not look at anyone who may be staring. I have two typical sons who are amazing with their brother and help out also. We have had many complaints on our family vacationing. I will not stop living, but some days are very difficult to go out with him. That's kind of how I feel too. I feel like sometimes, you know, you just have to do what you have to do. I mean, you can't stop living because you have an autistic child, and your autistic child has to be able to adapt to the environment, to the world. And the world has to adapt to him, and you can't worry about what people say or do, you know,
yes.
or the meltdowns, or I don't know how is your son in public, Paul? Is he?
I mean, it all depends. I mean, sometimes he's having a really bad day, and he'll throw himself on the floor and cause
right.
a big scene in the middle of the store. Sometimes he'll actually get angry and grab stuff off the shelves and throw them down on the floor or into the cart or whatever. So he's had his moments, and a few times, a few years ago, it hasn't happened recently because he's been actually pretty good of late, knock wood. I don't want to jinx it, but he's been very good, taking it out to the public for the most part. But one time he ran away from me into the store. I mean, he took off like a bat out of hell, and, you know, it was tough to catch him. I had to, like, literally run after him and grab him.
Oh, yeah.
But he did it to my wife one time, which I'll never forget. I was at work, and she took him to the store, and he actually started bolting out towards the front of the door. I mean, and God forbid he would have got outside. He could have ran into the parking lot, and, you know, and he has especially even now, he really doesn't have a lot of self-awareness about danger and stuff, and he might just run out into the street, you know, of parked cars and driving cars all over the place, and parking lots can be really dangerous. So it was pretty scary for her, so I felt bad, you know, because I wasn't there, but...
I had that happen to me recently with Michael, but Michael doesn't elope. That's the, what they call the elopement, but I don't have that as much as, like, he doesn't run off, but he will wander off, which is also scary because he has no clue, you know, and, like, I'll be shopping, all of a sudden I'll turn around, and all of a sudden I'm like, where the heck is Michael? Just recently that happened, because usually he's pretty good about staying by my side. He sort of seems to know that, as he's getting older, he's more aware that, you know, staying next to me is the safe. You know, I'm a safety net for him. But I do, just so people know out there, there are definitely, you know, ways to keep, I don't know if you have on Jonathan, like an ID bracelet. We have an ID bracelet on Michael. And we've had it since he's very young with the kids who are nonverbal, who can't say their name and address. And we always make sure that that's on him every single day. Whether he's on
He has, we worked with a company a few years ago, had her on the show. She created the QR codes, and so Jonathan has his own QR code that we sign him up with, and it's on his clothing. So if he does get lost, it says, you know, I need help, identifies, you know, that, you know, he's a special needs, and it has a QR code on it that they're able to scan, and actually has my wife's telephone number and my phone number, and they'd be able to call us if he was lost. So that helps, and it has his name and of course, the phone number. But we don't put the address on there because, we didn't feel safe enough to put too much information on there, but just enough that if he was found, because, you know, sometimes those things can also be used against you too. There's a lot of predators out there, you know, who... You know, might find your address or something, and God forbid they come in during the nighttime and try to kidnap your child too or something. So, you know, you got to be careful too with a lot of those things. But, you know, I always tell parents, you know, you put as much information that, you know, obviously you can get your child back to you as quickly as possible to get in touch with you. But at the same time, I think, you know, you got to be careful not to put too much information on there too, because it can be used against you too, unfortunately, in the world that we live in today. So that was one incident that happened to a child a few years ago. Had his name and address, and they found this UPS guy showed up trying to kidnap their son, actually, out of the backyard. So, you know, you hear stories like that, and they found out, how did he find out, you know, where this child was? Well, he saw the child in the store, nonverbal child, and, you know, read his ID tag and it had his address. And then, of course, you know, he filed it back. So, you know, it's scary. We live in a very scary world today, and we really need to, you know, protect our children as much as possible from predators out there. So, and that's just another reason to worry as well. So, so what else? What else did we have for you? What were some of the other responses?
Okay, my anxiety was through the roof when I had to take him out when my son was younger. It was so bad that unless it was something major, I just wouldn't leave. I never knew if he was going to have a tantrum or run for the hills. My poor oldest daughter was constantly frazzled at people staring at us because of his behaviors. Fast forward almost 10 years and it's gotten so much better. He listens, he doesn't run off, and he rarely has a tantrum. And when he doesn't get what he wants. He's a big guy now at 14 and bumps into people by accident. This sounds like my son. Walks, says hi to everybody, and living in New York, his sisters are real quick, but people to put people in their place now and then if someone dares to comment or stare. We just take it one trip at a time. My boy gets older, his world gets much smaller, less and less places to take him. My fear is always if a meltdown should happen, someone may call the police and they may use force on him. It breaks my heart. That's sad.
Yeah, absolutely. You know,
that is true.
And that's a very true thing that happens, unfortunately.
It does happen.
And that's why, you know, I know a couple of years ago, I think I might have told you this, we met with all sheriffs from all 21 counties here in New Jersey, and we were just discussing training and protocols on how to approach children with autism, because a lot of officers don't really respond well because they're not properly trained. And one of the things we were trying to do was implement a program that wouldn't be too costly to the police departments, as well as taking up too much of their time to help train them in dealing with a child with autism or a teenager with autism or even adult with autism, and how to identify them too and what to kind of look for too, some of the signs. Because, you know, sometimes police, let's face it, they only have a few seconds to react to something, if they feel threatened or endangered themselves.
Right.
So it's a very, you know, very touchy situation, obviously. So
somebody actually wrote in that this is an interesting situation. I haven't heard much of. Situation is even worse, that my son is adopted and we are different races, so people don't automatically connect me as his mom. That's scary.
Yeah, no, that's got to be tough, I'm sure.
That was a new one to me, but that's got to be tough to explain to people that you're the mom of different races and the child can't speak and whatever. Okay. We live out 20 minutes from the lake. The water is his happy place. He will interact with his sister at the lake. That's nice. I don't know. Some people don't have that luxury, I guess, and I don't know if all the kids can swim. Swimming is also
It could be a hazard, too. You know,
exactly,
Yeah, I mean, one of the things, you know, one of our programs at Autism Radio, you know, we do the Learn to Swim program and teach water safety to now children of the ages of 7 and up. We've had some pretty good success with that, and it's really important because, let's face it, a lot of kids are drawn to the water, and they may not know how to swim, you know?
Yeah, that to me is, that has been an issue with us, with Michael. We used to have to, not as much now, but we used to have, there's a lake right by my house, and we used to have to try to make sure he doesn't see it so he couldn't run, because if he ran off, he's pretty a strong kid, it would be hard to, like, you know, especially now. But now he wouldn't, I think he knows, but when he was little, he would try, every time he saw a lake, he would try to run towards it and had no concept, and he doesn't know how to swim, so he'd have no concept of safety. Somebody said, my son loves going to visit places. My cousin, I'm sorry, loves going to visit places. He really enjoys it. Eating is pretty neutral for us. My old son also loves amusement parks, aside from all the walking. I get too nervous to take him most places. It doesn't seem worth the effort. Most other outings we go on, I try to leave him alone with the attendant. Michael loves amusement parks, actually, and amusement parks for some reason tend to be, I don't know, maybe kids like it, maybe some kids don't like it, and there's Michael here in the background here. It depends. It depends on child, I guess. But
yeah, I mean, my son likes to see everybody else ride rides, but he doesn't like to get on the rides for himself.
Really?
Not really, no. No, he's deathly, afraid,
Michael,
you know.
He likes the ones that spin a lot because he likes the whole spinning feeling sensation. So that's a good thing for him.
Yeah, we had, I don't know if I ever told you the story. We went to Disney in 2007. Jonathan was pretty small at the time. We were on one of the Peter Pan rides, which, you know, goes into the dark.
I went on that with Mike.
And he literally almost climbed out of the ride. I mean, he was actually trying to get out, and I had to use all my strength to hold him in. And there was nothing to do because you're in this ride and it's in the dark, and there's not a hell of a lot you can do at that point. So we had to wait until, you know, obviously get close, and I said to the guy, we need to get him out now. And he was able to get us out of the ride fairly quickly.
Ooh,
but it was very scary.
And I'm like, are you okay? And he's like, yeah, I'm fine. I'm going, I can't see where I'm going.
Yeah, yeah. No, it's true. He gets very nervous with those things. He's very much want to be in control of the situation.
Oh, okay. He's like, man.
So if he is very out of sorts, he gets very, very nervous, and he will not move. My mother-in-law took Jonathan one time to New York to see a show, and they decided it would be fun to take the ferry. Well, that didn't work out so well. He grabbed on with death grip to everything in sight not to get on that ferry.
Oh,
so she ended up having to leave the ferry and drive into New York City to take him to the show. So it just didn't work.
You know,
they're all different. So every kid, every kid is
one
different.
One problem I've encountered a couple times this week, this came up, that somebody mentioned, our only problem is bathrooms are not always open. And a lot of women have mentioned online that they've been, there's a new rule somewhere in public that you can't take a, I don't know where, if this is just a rumor online, or, but you can't take your child, a boy, into a woman's bathroom after age six. And I said, and a lot of people with special needs have been commenting on it, which it's totally ridiculous. I take Michael into the women's room all the time with me. But it is an issue. It is an issue. Because
no, it is.
People do stare at you when you're
sure.
out in public, and like, why are you taking this kid? I mean, my Michael's 6 feet tall, but I have no choice. I can't leave him alone in a men's room. I mean, you know, it's very scary. He would have no clue, you know.
Right,
and
right.
If my husband's not with me and I'm with him alone, that has been an issue that came up a couple times. So I just wanted to mention that.
Yeah, that's a tough situation, you know, because it's the old statement is it's, you know, a two-sided coin, because obviously some women obviously wouldn't want to, you know, a boy or, you know, someone that looks like a teenager in the bathroom, and especially if they're not educated and they don't know. So you kind of can understand both sides of the coin there. And but at the same time, you know, what is a mother to do when you're tasked with a situation where your son or daughter, I mean, I guess, you know, well, the daughter is not necessarily a problem, but your son especially, you know, has to use the bathroom. What do you do? And he can't go
older,
on his own.
It's, as you get older,
it's hard.
I mean, I have never had a problem, really. I mean, like I said, in general, I haven't, but I know people that have.
Yeah.
But in general, I usually tell people he's disabled, and I just go use the disabled, you know.
Stall they have, right? Yeah.
To me. But, yeah, people were very upset with that, you know, that I don't know why it would be an issue. If your child is disabled, what are you supposed to do? You can't really just let them go into the men's room by themselves.
No, no, of course
That's
not. Absolutely.
So I just wanted to mention that. I also know the next person wrote in this special place that they like to take her son. It's a favorite restaurant. They all know him there, and they're very accepting and welcoming. He's been going there for years. Whenever we go, we prepare him in advance. This makes a huge difference for him. If possible, we use a visual aid to and review the basic rules and the schedule so he's aware of the sequence of events. And this has been something that they had recommended for my son when he was younger. I think this is more for the higher functioning kids, because this would not work for Michael, but I think that there is like a visual schedule that you could show them what's going to happen, so to prepare them, I guess.
Right.
It's a lot of work, and sometimes it just doesn't work, but we gave in to always be prepared to adjust our plans. So that was, I thought, a good point to bring up.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
Yeah, and I'm just going to read one girl. She's a little bit older. We're working on reducing anxiety when she's out of with her aid. She's still very afraid to ride the bus, so this is one of her goals. Her biggest challenge is bad, always has been safe boundaries. She told me a few weeks ago it was fine for her to talk to a woman with children because she's a mother and mothers don't hurt children. So, yeah, it's always a safety issue. You know, how do you explain to them what's safe and what's not safe when they
right.
really don't understand? You know, and this is an older girl. I happen to know this mother. I just want to read the last answer because it was so poignant. My son is 30 years old, severely autistic adult. He's my child, but so the listeners understand his age because of the stimuli such as more noises, more people, more smells, more of everything. My son and I cannot go to Walmart. I attempt to take him about 2 years ago. He had a meltdown at the cash register. He threw his body on the ground. A rude woman commented about why do they bring drug addicts into places like this. Thank goodness the cashier was fast and we didn't have much in our basket. As far as a therapist, my son does not have a therapist because the Medicaid waiver will not pay for it, and I can't afford insurance for him. I'm not sure it would help. He does have workers that help in the home. We do occasionally go to the park, but only with me and another worker. Sometimes we can take him to the dollar store, but if we do not go down the aisles the way he wants, it could be a potential meltdown. Every day is a new adventure that may have to be worked to help him for 2 years, but it might not work tomorrow. So one day I hope they will find more solutions for us as mothers. Which is true. Something that might work one day might not work next
right.
day.
Right. Well, that's the killer there is that, you know, things could be going along so smooth and you have such a great outing and then you do the same thing and you have another great outing. You say, oh, this is working. And then all of a sudden,
right.
bam, you get hit with like something out of the blue. And it's just like, oh, my God, what happened today?
That is true. Also, I think I've been saying lately to expect the unexpected with
yeah,
autism because
absolutely.
You
just
know,
never know.
No rule or rhyme or reason to anything.
No.
So it's just a matter of, you know, you got to go with the flow. You know, sometimes things work. Sometimes it's,
sure.
you know, it's, I mean, and the thing that sometimes annoys me too with, you know, people, professionals in the field, they have to realize our kids are kids. You know, some days they're going to have good days and some days they're going to have bad days. Just like a
yeah, you know, it's funny you say that because some professionals get that. They totally get it, and others don't. It's amazing.
No.
You know, it might be a doctor that might get it, and then all of a sudden you might have a doctor who just doesn't get it.
Right.
You know, they kind of be like, even make comments to you, like, I've heard, you know, stories from mothers saying, oh, you know, you need to hold your kid down. He needs to calm down. And it's
yes.
like, wait a minute. This kid has autism. Okay,
right.
number one. How do you expect me to do that? He's going to do what he wants to do, and I can't stop him have a meltdown. You could do as much as you can to prevent it, but if it's going to happen, it's happening, and you're not going to stop it. And sometimes, like you said, it could be violent, too, sometimes.
Yeah.
So it
and,
could be a bad
you know, and I've
situation.
Had people try to tell me that my son understands when I know he doesn't understand. So that's another whole, you know, awareness thing that I try to make people aware of, that they don't always understand.
No, they don't always understand, but they do understand a lot. I mean, I got to say that. I they do understand a lot of things, but a lot of things they don't understand. So it,
yeah,
it
well,
depends
like
what
I said,
it is.
I beg to differ with that because Michael's understanding is coming in now. Like, but it wasn't there at 3 or 5.
Oh, no, no, not at 3 or 5. I'm saying right now at that
now
stage. Yeah, yeah.
Now
no.
he definitely understands a lot more.
Absolutely.
But it is coming in. So, you know, but it didn't, you know, at the beginning. And
right,
that.
Right. No, no, definitely. I agree with you on that. Jonathan definitely didn't understand a lot of things at 3, 5 years old.
No.
You know, he only in the past,
probably in the past
3 years, I would say, has been the big change with him. So.
Oh, yeah. Oh, no, Michael's come very far. So. But I still think, you know, sometimes they just need to realize that these kids are kids, you know, and just let them be kids, you know. I just had that conversation recently with someone, you know, just let my son just be.
You know, sometimes they want to control the situation. I think some of these therapists try to control too much and like, no, this is what he's going to do. This is what he's going to do. And it's like, wait a minute, the kid's crying. I know, and you know, too, when our son is going to have a meltdown. You know, you see it. You can see the reactions. They start getting upset and they start maybe flapping the hands or whatever, you know, triggers that. You know the trigger and you know it's coming. It's like you just better back off. You know what? And sometimes I feel like let them burn it out. I think sometimes when they're having a meltdown, just let them be. I think if you try to control that meltdown too much,
things
it's no
are
good.
Over, you know, over, like we do, we try to put stuff on our Facebook page that's, you know, kind of educational about, you know, certain things that kids react to, you know, stimuli, the sensory, and, you know, sometimes they're overloaded. They need a break, you know, so things just hit them a certain way that we're not used to. Somebody once said to me, it's like having when my son hears something, it's like having amplifiers in your head. Like, that's how loud it is for him compared to us. You know, it's like that much louder for him.
Right.
You know, so you have to realize that it's just different. Their world is different than ours.
Absolutely.
The way they perceive the world, you know, so. But thank you, everyone, for the awesome answers. And I think we did a good job covering that it is difficult, you know, to take these kids out. It's not an easy thing. And
no,
it's,
absolutely.
You know, so.
Yeah, we got to thank everybody for, you know, considered support of writing in for our questions of the week. You know, without them, you know, it's not possible. It gives us some great feedback. And it's great to share each other's insight and experiences in the autism community with each other. So, like I said, a lot of times it helps one another just hearing that story and being able to connect. So,
right.
So we'll continue doing our journey and posting our question of the week on Autism Radio and also Hope Saves the Day.
One thing, Paul, I'm sorry, but my daughter told me to give her credit because actually she thought about that question.
Oh, okay. So we got to thank Amanda.
So,
got to thank Amanda then. Okay, that's great. So,
little 8-year-old daughter thought of that question.
That's awesome.
So, because she knows that it's hard to take them out in public. But anyway,
that's great. And we got a lot of events. We got to get out there real quick before we wrap up the show today. Don't forget that we have April 11th. We have Matt Ribeiro at the Fine Grind. He's from 2 to 4, And he's going to be displaying all his wonderful artwork, and you'll also be able to purchase some of his artwork as well. That's on display. And don't forget our very own Lynn Glukoff coming up on April the 22nd. We'll be hosting an autism seminar at the Mahwah Public Library at 6:30. And the seminar is free, and it's open to everyone. And they'll also be holding a story time upstairs for your children if you need to bring them. So please do. All are welcome. So looking forward to that. And also don't forget Park Lake School. The gala is April the 24th from 7 o'clock to 12 o'clock midnight at the Brownstone. And all the proceeds from the gala will be going there to support Park Lake School and all their programs. And everybody, you know, who has a student there, it's only going to help them with their programs and continuing education. So contact Sandy Garrett at 973-983-1099. Again, it's 973-983-1099. And give her a call today if you'd like to purchase some tickets. Also, coming up in May 3rd, we're partnering with the Children's Institute in Verona, New Jersey. It's Walk for a Lifetime in Verona Park. It's from Sunday, May 3rd at 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. Verona Park Walking Path in Verona, New Jersey. And it's located at the Children's Institute that provides educational, therapeutic, and vocational training to children and adults on the autism spectrum and all related disabilities. And don't forget, Lynn, our very own Autism Radio Casino Night, Friday, September the 18th from 7 to 11 p.m. And you'll be able to purchase tickets on autismradio.org. So if you want tickets today, or if you have a business and you want to be a sponsor, some sponsors are starting to come in, which is great. And this is going to be a huge event. We have some celebrities that are going to be there and some athletes and a lot of really cool stuff going on. So be sure to email us at sponsors@autismradio.org. That's sponsor@autismradio.org. And also go to the autismradio.org website and click on the events section, and you'll be able to see all the upcoming events that Autism Radio has going on. And also, before I forget to mention, don't forget Saturday, April the 18th at 12 o'clock at the UFC gym in Long Island, New York, at 2020 Jericho Turnpike in New Hyde Park, New York, 11042 zip code. And Brandon Ames is putting on a great event at the UFC gym for autism awareness, and they're donating all the proceeds from this event to autismradio.org. So really happy and want to get that out there and let people know what's going on in the autism community. It's a real busy, busy time of the year. A lot of people looking for interviews. And in fact, speaking of interviews, real quick, Jacqueline Loretta will be on the program next Monday. We'll be having her and Jenny and Jam and Jenny will both be on the program together to talk about her journey. And anybody that doesn't know Jacqueline, she's the mother of three, and she was on reality TV on Bravo TV with New Jersey Housewives. So a lot of people are big fans of Jacqueline Loretta. She's a huge advocate for the autism community, and she's going to be our special guest coming up on our next program. So we wanted to get that out there to everybody. And we're looking forward to it. So we have a lot of great guests coming up in the month of April as Autism Awareness Month is starting, guys. So be sure to donate. Now is the time to definitely donate for autism awareness. We have a lot of families in need of services, and without your help, we're unable to do this. So remember, your dollar goes a long way. We're able to get out about 90 cents on the dollar out there from your donations to the programs and to the families directly. So we thank you, everybody, for their support, Lynn. We wish everybody a great week, and we want to wish everyone a good night. And remember, until next time, everyone, hope saves the day.
Hi, my name is Todd Casella, and I'm a music teacher in a special needs school in Pompton Lakes, New Jersey, called the Windsor Learning Center. I've created this music video to help spread autism awareness. This project is important to me because I've worked with many autistic students over the past 7 years, and I have watched the number of students diagnosed with autism increase. The newest statistic is that one in every 50 children is diagnosed somewhere along the autism spectrum. I was inspired to create this music video for Autism Radio's Hope Saves the Day music contest to help spread autism awareness. Musicians are to create music to the lyrics written by Paul Simmons and then submit their music to listeners, then to be judged. The lyrics are about his personal experience with his son who is nonverbal, and I wanted to dedicate my musical rendition to someone I know in my life, a beautiful mother and daughter who are facing some of the same challenges, Tammy Margeson and Jalen West.
time I see your smile, I wonder what you feel. Every time you laugh or cry, I wonder if it's real. You seem trapped inside, please help me understand what your world like. I wanna feel your love. I wanna know what it's like to laugh and play. Imagine a thought, you can't feel a tear trapped inside. Imagine a sound you can't make no matter how hard you try. I want you to know how I'm feeling, how it feels to be me.
Please share this video to help spread autism awareness. Also, please consider donating to autismradio.org, America's first 100% volunteer charity for autism.